All right, this afternoon we're going to get started with the latter half of the message that I began in the morning service. And I just want to refresh your memory by reading one verse out of our text, and then we'll do a little bit of review of what we went over earlier, and then we'll finish up the message. The one verse that I pull out of the text that we used this morning was Revelation 5, verse 9, which says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Especially the latter part of the verse where it mentions, "And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." It's a great thing to be redeemed. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus as our personal Savior and to know that we are saved once and for all and forever. And some of the things that the Bible teaches us about this very special relationship with Him, number one, He reserves you for Himself. Again, the word there was reserves. He reserves you for Himself. The second point we had was He remains righteous. Righteous is the key word there. The third point, He rejoices over His people. The word is rejoices. Number four, He reinforces His people. God is always there to undergird us and help us, strengthen us, especially in our time of weakness. And then the last one we gave this morning was He resides in His people. He actually lives within us. So He's there and will never, ever leave. It is a forever arrangement. So reserves, and then righteous, and then rejoices, and then reinforces, and then resides. In this second half of the message, I'll begin with number six. And the word here is remains. Remains. Notice, if you would, a verse, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20. Familiar verse, I think, to a lot of us. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20. We've already touched on this thought, I think, throughout the morning message a couple of times, and then again today, just this afternoon, just reminding you of what we went over. But Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And here's the truth. "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Again, the thought here is remains. He remains with you always. I wanted to ask you this question under this point, and that question is this: what can you do to make the Lord give up on you? I don't know of anything. As I read through the Bible, and we've read through it numerous times, I know many of you have as well, I've not seen any place where it says that or mentions that. Everything that we're talking about, both this morning and this afternoon, this forever arrangement that God has made with us, He's going to remain with us all the time. Now, that's not to say that we should purposely test that by doing wrong. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I'm suggesting to you this truth because sometimes the devil will come to us and tell us, "Well, you've really blown it now, you know, or you've already asked forgiveness for that, you know, 100 times. He's not going to hear you and help you now." The devil wants us to believe that God has given up on us. The devil wants us to believe that God really has no time for us anymore. I mean, he's on to bigger and better things. But of course, that's not true. Every one of us, myself, all of you, each and every one of us are, I don't know what other way to describe this except to say ultra important to him. Every one of us. No matter what happens in your life, he's not going to give up on you. He's never going to turn his back on you. He's going to remain with you forever. This special presence that God has promised to those who know him and love him, that very special presence is promised to you, and he'll never go back on that promise. Never, ever, ever. You know the verse. I repeat it often in messages, but he said in the book of Hebrews, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And he mentioned it again here, of course, directly to his disciples, but by way of application, I think, to you and me too. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. No matter what happens, no matter, you know, I think most of us here probably believe, I think we do anyway, that we're in the end times. We're close to the Lord's return for us. And it really doesn't matter what happens next. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. He'll never turn his back on us. There isn't anything that you can do or I can do that God will say, well, that's it. I'm done with that one. I'm going on to somebody else. That'll never, ever happen. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thought that God remains with us always. Let me show you another one real quick. Let's go back to the book of Psalms and look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This is, of course, the Psalms in particular. I like the whole book, and I go to it often just to get encouraged and strengthened and so forth. But Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 have to be two of my favorites. Here's Psalm 91, okay? I'm going to read through the whole Psalm, so please follow along with me. Try to make a personal application to yourself. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a great psalm, isn't it? Here's the word. This would be number 7 in our list. The word is reassures. Reassures. And the point I'm trying to make here is that he reassures you of your safety in him. He reassures you of your safety in him. There's a couple of different times in the Psalms, you see it here in this one, where God mentions that he is our refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. A refuge is a place that you can run to and flee to when danger is approaching. Jesus Christ is our refuge. He is the one to whom we can flee when things get difficult, when things are not going your way, when you find yourself in a bad spot or a bad situation. You can flee to the Lord in your prayer life, and He will be that refuge for you as long as you need it. Isn't that good? As long as you need it, He will be that refuge. As long as you're with Him, you can feel safe and you can feel secure. As long as He's with you, you can feel safe and you can feel secure. No one and no thing can harm you because God watches over you and God protects you. So He reassures you of your safety in Him. Now, by the way, friend, this is a very important reason to read your Bible every day and to pray every day. Because as you read your Bible every day and you pray every day, God's going to remind you of this. All right? He's going to remind you that he's there for you. He's going to remind you that your safety is found in him. He's going to remind you that nothing can touch you because you belong to him. He's going to remind you of those things. But again, you got to be in the Word of God. You got to be in prayer. And the Lord will remind you of that. He'll give you that reassurance. He'll give you that reassurance. I am sure, without any doubt whatsoever, that our hope and our help is not in the government, but our hope and our help is in God. By the way, they both start with a G. But one's a lot shorter than the other, and one's a lot more reliable than the other. Amen. Our hope and our help is in God. And as we're in his word and as we're praying, he's going to reassure us of our safety that's found in him. Let me do a little review real quick, and then I'll give you word number 8. Number 1 was reserves. He reserves you for himself. Number 2, righteous. He remains righteous. Number 3, rejoices. He rejoices over his people. Number 4, reinforces. He reinforces his people. Number 5, resides. He resides in his people. Number 6, remains. He remains with you always. Number 7, reassures. He reassures you of your safety in him. Here's number 8. Fact is, let me go to the verse first. Let's go to Psalm 37 and verse 23. Here's another one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, 23 says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Once more, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Here's the word, reveals. Reveals. And the thought here is that he reveals his plan for your life. He reveals his plan for your life. Did you notice the very words that are mentioned in verse 23? "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Notice the word steps. Did you ever realize that God doesn't show us the whole path at one time? It's only in pieces. It's only a little bit at a time. It's not, here's the whole path for the rest of your life. God doesn't do that. He goes little pieces at a time. It's kind of like it mentions about understanding the Bible. Here a little, there a little, you know. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Small pieces. Now those steps that God lays out in front of you and me are God revealing his plan for our life. And I think this is true. I think God does this on purpose, just revealing it in pieces or in steps, so that each and every day we have to trust him. Please notice what I said. Each and every day we have to trust him. Now those steps that God reveals to us, they're mostly revealed through his word. Mostly through his word. I'm assuming that your Bible's like mine. It's got a front cover and a back cover. Nothing's being added to it anymore. It's all complete. Everything we need to know for life and godliness, Peter told us, is found right here in the knowledge of him. Everything we need is right there. So the things that God wants us to know about the steps in front of us and his will for our life, his plan for our life, those steps, most of them are going to come through reading his word. But there are some other things that he shows us through prayer. Sometimes just spending a little time with God, and in prayer, he'll reveal something to you. He'll show you something. He'll give you some direction through your prayer life. Sometimes God will give you a little bit of advice as far as that plan for your life through godly counsel. Sometimes I have run across people who really didn't want godly counsel. Huh? What they wanted was somebody to agree with them. But there's a difference between somebody agreeing with you and somebody giving you godly counsel. Would you agree with me that sometimes godly counsel goes against what we want to do? Oh, it sure does. It sure does. But godly counsel can be important as far as showing us those steps. All right, mostly through his word, some through prayer, some through godly counsel, some even through circumstances, like a closed door. You're trying to go in a certain direction, but God has closed the door. You can't get through. Well, let me just suggest, don't try to force it open. Take it as a message from God that He doesn't want you to go that way. By the way, if God closes a door, He'll open a different one. Just trust Him. Just believe Him. Know that if you trust Him and believe Him, He will show you those steps, okay? He reveals His plan for your life in steps, all right? If you want to know His plan for your life, He'll show you. He won't keep it from you. He's not like, you know, this, my notes right here. He's not doing this. Aha. I'm not showing you anymore. That's not how the Lord works. He wants us to know His plan for our life. He wants us to seek it and to pray for it. So He reveals His plan for your life. That's number eight. Number nine, let's go to the book of Hebrews together. Hebrews chapter 11, in fact. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number, here's a good verse, number 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Again, a familiar verse, I'm sure, for a lot of you. But Hebrews 11, 6 says this: "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Notice that again. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Well, where does that faith come in? The rest of the verse. "For he that cometh to God must believe," there's the faith, "must believe that He is, and must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." All right, so here's the word. The word number nine is rewards. Rewards. He rewards those who seek Him. He rewards those who seek Him. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I've heard some people say something similar to this. "Well, I tried that and that didn't work for me." Well, the Bible does say He rewards those who diligently seek Him. It isn't, you know, it isn't really like, okay, here's just a silly example. I'll just make this up on the fly. Here I've got a cup of coffee in front of me, and I don't want it black, even though for me personally that's the way I usually drink it, but I don't want it black. I want some cream and sugar in there, okay? So I put some cream, I put some sugar in, and then I'll pick it up, and I'll take a little bit of sip to see if it's right. If it's not right, I'll add whatever is needed, see? But I want to taste it first and make sure it's okay, all right? That's what that person that I just described is doing. They're just tasting it to see if they like it, and if they didn't like it, they put it aside. "Well, I tried that, and it didn't work for me." No, friend, God doesn't want you to approach it that way at all. He wants you rather to diligently seek Him, to go after Him. Something that's valuable, like, remember this in the Gospels where it talks about the pearl of great price and how a person who's seeking that pearl of great price will buy the whole field and do whatever he has to do to dig up that field and find that pearl of great price? That's the idea of diligently seeking Him, okay? And God rewards that, see? God rewards that. That's why the Bible says here, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." I want to suggest that that person who says, "I tried that and it didn't work for me," that person's not applying faith. They're just kind of tasting. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is." Oh God, if there is a God, please help me out in this. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Of course, now that requires faith, and that's what this verse says. Faith to believe that He is. Faith to come to Him. Faith to believe that if I come to Him and seek Him, He'll hear me and He'll answer me. Oh, have you ever heard this about our prayer life? to pray with expectation. Wonder where I've heard that before. Maybe nearly every Wednesday night when we take down our prayer requests. To pray with expectation. Why? Because that's faith. That's believing that God will hear and God will answer. Let me ask you this. When you came to church this morning, did you come with faith? Did you come believing that God was going to show up, that God was going to speak to your heart, that God was going to minister to you today through the music and the message? Or is it just something you just do out of rote, you know, behavior? It's Sunday, we got to go to church. I don't know about you, but I came expecting things to happen and expecting God to work and expect, by the way, on Sundays like today, I usually pray that God will make sure there's enough food for everybody. Say, well, that's a little thing. Yeah, until you're standing in line and there's nothing left to eat. Huh? But I do. I pray about that. I pray that folks will come to church. I pray that they'll stay for the meal. I pray that they'll stay for the afternoon service. I pray about all those things. Praying and asking God by faith to do what he said that he would do. And of course, the rewards come as we do that. All right? We'll see rewards here on earth. We'll see also more rewards when we get to heaven. But the rewards are given to those who diligently seek him. That's what the Bible says. So he rewards those who seek him. By the way, can I suggest to you this thought too? Whenever you pray about something and an answer doesn't seem to come, don't give up. Now, if God says no, then you should probably give that up. But if God doesn't say no, just keep on asking. Just keep on seeking. Just keep on knocking, right? Ask, seek, and knock. And if you do that, of course, it will come all in God's good time. So he rewards those who seek him. I've got one more word for you, and it's a good word. I think these are all good words. They all start with the letter R, of course. I told you that earlier this morning. But this word can be found, and the truth can be found, in John chapter 5, verse 28. Let's go there real quick. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Hopefully you're there. I'm going to start reading. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Again, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear my voice, or hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The last word here that starts with an R is the word resurrect. Resurrect. And the thought here is, he will resurrect you as he did Jesus. He will resurrect you as he did Jesus. Now, many of us in this room have been at the cemetery of loved ones who've been laid to rest. All right? Don't know if you've ever done this or not, but most of my family's buried in Eureka. You already know that because I know I've mentioned that several times. But when I go there, periodically, I like to stand in front of those graves, and sometimes I'll say it out loud, but always I'll at least think about it. Grave, you can't hold that person forever. My loved one, whoever it is, my dad or my mom or my grandparents or my sister, brother, whatever, they're going to come out of there one day soon. And by the way, Jesus said it here, didn't he? Marvel not at this. It's something that we shouldn't be surprised when it happens. All that are in the graves are going to come out of there. Of course, those that have been saved, they're going to come to the resurrection of the just. And those who have not been saved, they're going to come to the resurrection of condemnation or damnation. But all are going to be resurrected, all right? And if we're alive when this day comes, naturally, we're going to be raptured, of course, but if we're already in the ground, like these loved ones that I was referring to, we're going to be resurrected. Why? Well, a couple of reasons I can give you real quick. One of them is, Jesus said, I want you to be with me where I am. Isn't that what he said in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One of the reasons why there's going to be a resurrection is because the Lord wants us to be with him where he is. I'm sure you agree with me. Heaven's a lot better than this. Has to be, right? Heaven is a lot better than this, just from what we read in the Bible. But another reason why he's going to resurrect everybody is because judgment day is going to happen for the good and the not so good, for the saved and the unsaved, for the good and reward of those who are saved, and for the punishment of those who are not saved. Judgment day. Are you looking forward to judgment day? On one part I am, on one part I'm not. I wonder sometimes if we will, we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, of course, but I wonder if some of judgment day will be pointing out things that we could have done and should have done and didn't do, and I think we might have a little bit of shame and regret for that. But so I am looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. A little bit of both. But it's coming, and the Bible says it's coming, and that's another part of the reason why we're going to have a resurrection. Now, these two verses, again, look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. So who's going to get resurrected? Everybody, right? Everybody. All that are in the graves. That means people that we know, people that we love, even people that in our minds are evil, right? Wicked, vile. They're going to be resurrected also. And everybody's going to face the Lord. And everybody's going to have to give an account to him. So everybody's going to be resurrected. Now, Jesus was the first. Remember, the Bible tells us that. He was the first fruits. And we're going to be resurrected because of that. And when we are resurrected, of course, and everyone else is resurrected, you and I, who are born again, we've been redeemed, we're going to receive the just, you know, rewards for what we've done. And everybody who's not saved, they're also going to receive the just rewards for what they have done. When is that going to happen? Well, we don't know exactly, do we? We don't know exactly when the resurrection is going to happen. But I do know this, it's going to happen. And I have an idea. Do you think this way too? I have an idea that when it happens, it's going to surprise a lot of people. Doesn't it seem like some people are living as if it's never going to happen? Doesn't it seem like a lot of people are living as if after we die, that's it, there's no more? Seems like a lot of people are living that way. Seems like a lot of people are driving that way. Huh? Sometimes Sarah can vouch for me on this. Sometimes we'd be driving along together and somebody will just, like the other day, we were going 5 miles over. This is on a highway. We were going 5 miles over, and somebody came up on our left side. Shoom. And here's my thought. Can't get to heaven, or can't get to hell fast enough. I mean, come on. Slow down. I'm going 5 miles over, and you just pass me like I'm standing still? There's a lot of people that drive like they don't think there's a judgment day coming, but there's a judgment day coming. There is, and it's coming for everybody. And then that day, I think, is already set. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready? We always need to be living like we're ready, don't we? So let me give you these 10 words again, and we'll wrap this up in a word of prayer. This is 10 words for the redeemed. 10 words for the redeemed. Number one, reserves. He reserves you for himself. Number two, righteous. He remains righteous. Number three, rejoices. He rejoices over his people. Number four, reinforces. He reinforces his people. Right there to undergird you and give you strength in the time of weakness. Number five, resides. He resides in his people. Number six, remains. He remains with you always. Number seven, reassures. He reassures you of your safety in him. Number 8, reveals. He reveals his plan for your life. By the way, always keep in mind it's in steps. It's not the whole plan at once. It's in steps, all right? So you got to trust him every day. Number 9, rewards. He rewards those who seek him. And number 10, resurrect. He will resurrect you as he did Jesus. These are 10 words, all starting with the letter R, that relate to those of us who are saved or redeemed. Things that the Bible teaches about our relationship with God, what he can do for us, what he has done, what he will do, all those kinds of things. I wonder, do you feel blessed to be saved? Yes. Amen. I do too. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. What a wonderful thing to know the Lord as my Savior. And to know that my life is all safe in his hands. It's all safe in his hands. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Let's close in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you for these 10 words, and I know there's many, many more that we could pull out of Scripture, but thank you for these, and thank you for each and every person here who knows you as their Lord and Savior. Help us to live a life that honors you and pleases you and is a good testimony for you. Please, Lord, whenever the time is right, and just as soon as it's right, come and get us. We're so sick and tired of this world, and we're ready to go home to heaven. I know that you have us here for a purpose, and we want to fulfill that purpose, so help us to do that. But we are anxious for your return. So we know the day's already set. Whenever that time comes, please, may it be soon. Bless us now as we finish our service, and bless this week coming up in Jesus' name. Amen.